Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our conversation with 98-year-old Glenn Montgomery of Colorado Springs, Colorado, a veteran of World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War, who retired as a lieutenant colonel after 31 years of military service. But his Army journey started as a teenager in Oklahoma. Do you remember, Glenn, what your expectations were at the start of that Army career way back in World War II?
Yeah, very excited because I'd never been out of the state before or out of the boundary of the city. Mm-hmm. We were just dumb.
Do you remember what it was like to go overseas?
Eyes wide open.
Had you ever been on a ship before?
No, I'd never seen one before.
So what was that journey like across the Atlantic?
Well, it was like being a 16-year-old or 17. I was 18 when I was drafted. Like an 18-year-old on a brand new ship. Because everything was new to me. The ship's horn blow so loud, so long, and so deep. It was awesome. It was just awesome. Biggest thing I'd ever seen was probably a bull. But here it was a ship there were 7,000 men on that ship. So, yes, it was a thrill.
And what'd you find on the other side of the pond?
Marseille, France. It had been raining and raining and raining. And they pulled up to this barn and they herded us all into the barn. There must have been, I'd say 20, 25 trucks full of GIs. There was a batch of us. Well, a whole infantry company. That's about 180 men. And we stayed there. That was comfortable because there was a lot of straw and it was warm. We were dry and it was welcome. But as in all the stories, the good comes to the bad, and they mount us up again into a truck, this time with no canvas cover over them. And we were soaking wet by the time we got to, from then on, the move towards the Rhine River was a maze of marching, charging, running, shooting. And when we got to the river, we were on a high sloping plain that went down to the Rhine River. It was a French chateau. We were in France. And this was quite an experience, this chateau. And apparently, had a hand-built rock wall around it, had a stall for horses. I would say 6 or 8 horses, maybe more, maybe less. I'm not sure, but anyway, the word came down for we would halt. The mortar, 81 mortar at that time, as I recall, had 3 different shells. HG light, HG heavy. One was a phosphorus. If once the phosphorus explodes in the air, white phosphorus goes in every. It burned a hole right through the tank. We zeroed in on a highway intersection, or maybe a school building that was being used by the enemy for whatever purpose. Mm-hmm. We stayed there almost a week. And we burned everything we could find. It had been previously occupied, I think, by the German troops. We had no evidence of that, no verbal evidence, but there were German guns still left behind, pieces of German uniform, insignia, this thing. So I just concluded that they had, I did know the name of this place, but and time has erased it. I don't remember what the name was. But anyway, we had a musician in the company. His name was Espedito, I think, but a real classic piano player with a grand piano. And we burned everything we could find to stay warm.
And you started, you were talking about the musician. Was he trying to save the piano?
Lieutenant Phillips was a pianist. Yeah. Let me explain a little bit about the organization. The Heavy Weapons Company in World War II consists of three platoons. One rifle platoon, one light platoon, and one heavy platoon. The light platoon was machine guns, water-cooled machine guns, and non-water, Browning. And then third platoon is six mortars, 81-millimeter mortars. And the first platoon, there's leftover snipers and so forth there. It was cold. It was damn cold and wet. And we were running around looking for, we'd use all the firewood that was in the, had been stored in the corral. Somebody yelled out, "Let's burn the doors." Well, those doors were that thick. Of course, they'd make idea. And the lieutenant said, "No, we will not destroy the place." But he said, if you find something to burn, we'll do it. And once somebody turned to us, he says, "How about the piano?" And of course, lieutenant, being a pianist himself, almost had a night of heart attack. But anyway, he says, "Well, why not?" He pulled, you know what a German hand grenade looks like?
Uh-huh.
Look, the potato masher?
Yeah.
He raised the lid and pulled it and said, "Hit the deck." And blew that piano, and I don't know how many, but anyway, it made hot fire. But that's the way we burned the piano.
Wow.
And shortly after we did that, we got the word to saddle up. We were ready to go.
What do you remember about the bulge?
Oh, the bulge. Oh, that was up at Bastogne. Oh, yeah. Well, that was, so, of course, we were soldiers of months of living outside by this time. We had been issued foot gear, it was called a muckluck. Rubber outside and a sort of a heavy sock on the inside. I experienced the real thing when I was stationed in Alaska. But as far as the battle of the bulge is concerned, we didn't have too much problem with it because we were a little bit too far south. But we were north of there when the massacre of the armor by General
Piper. The Malmedy Massacre?
Yes. I actually saw that. That's south of Belgium.
Yeah, it's an important crossroads, and some people are familiar with it, but some people aren't. So why don't you describe what you saw? Because, I mean, that had to be jarring for your tender eyes to see.
Well, by this side, I'd seen a lot. But we were in position at that time.
Okay.
We didn't pass by it. I think we got two or three issues of Stars and Stripes where we were with pictures and so forth. And of course, I think I've said it before, I think that incident, among other instances of similar nature, did more to defeat the Germans than the American Army. That's the way we felt.
Because it was so inhumane?
Yes, that right. Very seldom did we know any higher up. Well, you're Hitler and Himmler and so forth from Stars and Stripes. But at the line level, the battle line level, we never knew who we were against. Never heard a name at all.
You talked to us a little bit about your 81-millimeter mortar, the different shells. What was your job in that mortar squad?
First gunner.
I guess so. That's quite a description. And I think you were leading me into a close call that you had there. Was there something that landed in your vicinity?
That's true. Many times when we displaced forward, the heat got pretty heavy. But I've never figured out why the Germans, or the enemy, could have been Italian, I don't know, would allow the mortar crew to move forward carrying their instrument without fire. You would think as soon as everybody was exposed on the edge of the, going over the hill, and we're always in a deep place to go over also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
Because you're six foot deeper than that bridge is in the first place. But seldom we ever draw fire when we're moving far. Well, another reason we had good luck was we only moved two rounds, two mortars at a time forward. The other four stayed in action and gave covering fire. And those HE light, little steelies, little bugger, they sounded like a bee. And that also helps keep the road clear for the initial people moving forward.
Sure.
But, of course, we had occasions where we moved forward and thought we were doing great, and what stared us in the face? A Tiger tank. And, of course, not many people escape from a tiger when he's after you.
So how'd you get away?
Hit the goat. You don't have any choice. Hit the dirt or get in the lowest spot, place you can find.
And hope they pass on by?
Or you then or disappear for some other reason, like an attacking counterattack from us, or maybe artillery fire.
He would deal with plenty of that. In fact, it would put him in the hospital and leave him with a purple heart. It's break time again, but there's more to come with 98-year-old Glenn Montgomery. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this. Do you ever have those moments where you realize you've been settling for less than the best for far too long? Sometimes we just accept the status quo without looking around for better ways to do things. And I've got to tell you, when it comes to your money, I believe I found a better way with EECU. Take a look at my EECU.org and you'll see why. EECU is not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that's all about taking care of you, the member. That's one of the reasons EECU just keeps growing and growing. Close to 300,000 members now in 10 different California counties. Over 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And what I really love is how EECU always goes above and beyond to serve the community. In 2013, the leadership and generosity of EECU helped establish Central Valley Honor Flight. Over 1,500 veterans now have gotten to see their memorials in Washington, D.C. for free. And that's just one example of the community involvement EECU takes oh so seriously. Pick up the phone and become a member today. 1-800-538-3328. That's 800-538-3328.